Our reading today is from Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 46. It's Mary's song, often called the Magnificat. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their own inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Several years ago, I studied in Bolivia in South America. I was there during a time of national elections. The party of the incumbent president was defeated at election, and a new president was sworn in. As a result, I had to hurry along my student visa application because my lawyer there told me that in a few weeks, all the key personnel in the relevant government services would change and very little would be done for some time while the new people tried to find their way. Because in Bolivia, many of the appointments, even down to the clerks, are political appointments. Well, a few months later, the recently elected president was forced out of office by protests and political maneuvers. The vice president then became the president, but he didn't survive very long either. You can imagine the disruption these frequent presidential changes brought to the whole government system and the uncertainty normal people felt. But actually, uncertainty is quite certain in Bolivia. In the last 200 years, the president on average lasted less than 3 years. The longest serving president was in office for 13 years. That was from 2006 to 2019. It was quite recently and actually more than the constitution allowed, but he changed the constitution, so must have been all right. Anyway, he has been criticized for his actions, but at least he brought some stability. Now, from my time in Bolivia, I realized how important stable government was for the good of the country. It gave me some perspective. As you can imagine, there are many decisions of governments here in New Zealand I am not very happy with, whatever the shape or color of the government. But at least here in New Zealand, we have a fairly stable government. This allows people to get on with their lives. And even if there's a change of government, it's always in well-managed elections, and the losing party generally accepts the results, even though some may feel hard done by. Probably as people of goodwill, it makes sense to support such a stable, established order. And yet this morning we heard a hymn that's sung quite frequently in the church, and it sounds quite destabilizing, the Magnificat. The Magnificat is often sung at Evensong and other church services. And the church must have thought this song of Mary really, really important. While I was at St. John's College, we had a service one day where we were all encouraged to participate in discussion on the Magnificat. We were asked what the song tells us about God's interaction with the world. The answers were all very nice. God upholds the lowly. God is merciful. God inspires us to actions of social justice. God is faithful. God fulfills our deepest desires. These are all very safe answers. But I couldn't resist reading the actual text. And so even against my own political convictions, I said, well, it clearly seems from the text that God causes political instability. Isn't that the summary of he has shown strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts, he has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly? So how do we reconcile this with our own longing for stability and certainty. Now, I think we have to realize that the Magnificat is not just the rebellious song of a young woman or the composition of Luke who was concerned about the welfare of the poor. No, the Magnificat is an echo of a theme that's heard throughout the Bible. It's actually quite similar to the song of Hannah, which we have in the first book of Samuel. There, Hannah sang, "The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low, he also exalts." Now, both the song of Hannah and the song of Mary, this change between rich and poor, mighty and weak, it's all seen as reason to praise God, to give him thanks. Now, there's other ancient literature that uses similar words as the song of Hannah. Egyptian literature is an example, so I'll read a few words from that. "Behold, he who had no property is now a possessor of wealth, and the magnate praises him. Behold, the poor of the land have become rich, and the former owner of property is one who has nothing." So similar words. But in Egyptian literature, that is seen as bad, as the worst that can happen to the land. The rightful order established by the gods and the pharaoh is upset if that happens. The Egyptian divine order, Ma'at, has been disrupted. Everything that the empire stands for is in danger. Slaves that are set free are a danger. Hungry people that are satisfied upset the balance of power. And so the liberation of the Israelite slaves from Egypt, the Exodus, and the existence of a people that questions power arrangements, that is a continuous threat to an empire like Egypt. But the Bible even criticizes the hanging on to power in Israel. So our reading from Micah is also a criticism of current power arrangements. The ruler of God's people, Micah said, would not be coming from Jerusalem, from the royal house, but rather from Bethlehem, the original home of King David. And the king would be born in weakness, not in pomp. Because the royal house, according to Micah, has become compromised by clinging to power, just as the official priesthood. And therefore, the prophets envisaged a totally different way of leadership. God's interaction with the world is a constant challenge of current power arrangements, of the establishment of empires, of systems that crystallize to favor the few. It doesn't matter what worldview lies at the heart of those systems, whether they are democratic, dictatorial, monarchical, or religious. Before God, they cannot have absolute loyalty or power. They will fade. And that means that we are called firstly to not place too much confidence into political systems, into means of apportioning power and economic resources. They will never deliver full justice or fulfillment. It also means that we are called to look at history and current events and see in them the work of God, who challenges all power arrangements and all ideologies. And yet God remains sovereign in the world. Seeing God at work, that is difficult, because depending on our own political leanings, we will see God at work here, but not there. I think it's particularly difficult in our current times when people tend to align with a particular party or ideology. In the United States, that's quite obvious. Everything that the Republicans are doing is seen as bad by some, and everything that the Democrats stand for is rejected by others. Now, it's not only there. Similar entrenched divisions are seen here and across the world. For example, I have encountered the stance quite often of being anti-woke, rejecting everything that the so-called woke ideology stands for and advocating the opposite, without actually considering the issues individually and seeing what is good and what is detrimental. So I think God is not a guarantor of party political messages. Rather, God calls us to be discerning, to see the various power dynamics, and to seek his will in this confusing world. Such a discernment needs to break free from political and other ideologies of this world, whether they be right, left, or center, up or down, and rather we have to focus on God. But returning to the Magnificat, the Song of Mary, I think most of all it's a song of hope. The powers of this world do not have the last say, will not hold sway forever. On the evening before his death, the Swiss theologian Karl Barth had a telephone conversation with his friend. And the last words that he said to anybody were these. Yes, the world is dark, but don't let us give hope. Never. For the world is governed not in Moscow or in Washington or in Beijing, but from on high in heaven. God is sovereign. Therefore, I am not afraid. Even at the darkest moments, we can remain full of confidence. We will not lose our hope, the hope for all humans, for all the peoples of the earth. God will not let us fall, not one individual, nor us all together. The world is governed. It's this hope that can carry us through the many dark times that the world faces and the many dark times that we experience in our own lives. If this world only relied on humans, we might have cause for despair. But God is there. God governs this world, and through Jesus Christ has shown that he loves and cares for this world, that he loves and cares for us humans. That gives us hope individually and also for the whole world.